Welcome to this week's episode of News of the North. It's December 1st, 2015, and I'm your host, Paul Filion, here with my co-host, Antoine Bergeron. Hey, Antoine, how's it going, buddy?
Pretty good, you?
I'm still breathing. I'm on the right side of the turf, so can't complain. This is episode 2 of our news program. I was afraid we were going to have a pretty thin list today for the recording, but your recent research skills are pretty epic, apparently.
I like also random our stuff. And mostly unknown, so we have lots of that.
Yeah, but there's lots of cool minis in that random stuff, so people should take a look. So, as always, we'll start off with our upcoming events. And this section is actually pretty thin. All we've got this week is to mention the Elizabeth Beckley Masterclass that we've been plugging for a couple weeks now. So that's January 30th and 31st. It's a two-day class. Day one is painting a standard 28mm miniature. Day two is chibi-focused. The classes are $70 US per day, and it's going to be hosted at Gamers Vault in Montreal here. For any more information, you can go and check out our website. We have a link to the event page posted in the show notes. And yeah, that wraps up the events section. Let's go right into news. So, just like last week, we've split this up into two sections, crowdfunding-related and non-crowdfunding news. And first up is our non-crowdfunding news. Number one, what would a Geeks of the North show be without a Tor plug? So Tor Gaming has previewed some new Britannian Rangers and Ridden Peasants for the Relics game. Now we've got a link in the show that was posted on Beasts of War, I think, wasn't it, Antoine?
Yes, it was an exclusive preview at that time. I don't know if it's shared elsewhere now, but they got it first. And the Britannian Rangers are from the first book. They are one of the only missing miniatures, I think. There's probably a couple others. But for the Britannian, it was the last SKU missing. And they are so cool. They have lots of character, especially compared to the other ones.
I love the guy with the beret.
Yeah. They're all so cool. Yeah. One's having an axe instead of the usual small swords that they have, or
that
weapon at all.
That's the one with the beret. He's got the axe and the rifle in the other arm. Yeah. And then, of course, the Ridden Peasants.
Mm-hmm.
I guess for listeners, we should let them know that Ridden are actually goblins. So, goblins in peasant clothing.
Yeah, and
pitchforks and stuff.
Don't think like Game Workshop goblins, or most classic fantasy goblins, but think more like Labyrinth.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So a bit of a unique look in the gaming market.
Yeah, kind of bird-like faces. A bit. Their mouth looks like beaks. But they're really interesting, and the peasants are they're the peons. They're there to die for the knights.
Well, that's the way it should be.
Yeah.
All right, next up, Madame Liberté. So this is from Spartan Games for Dystopian Wars. Obviously, judging by the name, it's for the French army.
No, it's for the FSA. It's an American model.
No.
Oh, yes, it is.
No.
No, they changed it. Okay. My new source are bad then. Because
maybe I misunderstood. It's mounted on a classic French skimmer, it says.
Yeah, but that has been given by the French to the Americans.
Well, that's the original history.
Yeah, it's the same thing for that one.
I thought in this it said what started. So here's the blurb. So we'll argue about this live on the air. Why not?
Yeah.
So what started as an engineering feat to show French relations with the Federated States of America soon took a militaristic turn when the World War erupted. With relations between France and the FSA strained, the statue was suddenly re-envisioned as a weapon of war. The torch and tabula, no longer evoking the law, rather the torch became a devastating heat lance, and the tabula a missile battery capable of raining down destruction on all the enemies.
Oh, then the new source I add didn't read the blurb then. Because
I think basically it never got sent to the States as a statue. The French decided to keep it and make it into a weapon instead.
Okay, the other news blurb I had was not that at all, so they probably read in diagonal. So yeah. I didn't have the blurb from the official website. Oh, that's cooler.
It's pretty cool. It's so funny because it's really just the Statue of Liberty on top of like a giant floating ship. And the arm on the statue can be lowered to point forward to fire the heat lance at enemies. And it's got a pivoting piece in the middle like a turret, so she pivots at the waist. It made me laugh. I think it's a cool render. I can't wait to see the model for this.
And they added a base for it. Well, two bases. Yeah. They have one that's like
farmlands and
farmlands
stuff.
Farmlands, with roads
and a little hangar, a little barn or something.
And houses that gives a really cool sense of scale. And the other one is over waves for people who only play like the Discipline C version.
Right.
So that's pretty cool. That's the first time I see those bases for Discipline War.
Yeah, and it's pretty slick, I have to say. I would probably buy this model just for the... I mean, I really like the Discipline War models. I don't play the game. I'd like to someday. Eventually, it's on our list, but... I love the scale. So I think I might just pick this up just for the joy of painting, because it'll be fun. Yeah, so that being said, I guess we should probably move on to our next topic.
Yep.
Or the next news item. So, GW re-released Archeon. Now, I don't know if people have seen this guy. So this is the Age of Sigmar version of Archeon. He's mounted on a giant monster type thing. Is it a chimera? Has three heads, so I'm assuming it's a chimera. And it is huge. Like, bigger than the Gash. Bigger than any of the new greater demons. It's got the biggest price tag of any model from GW.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
It's 200 Canadian, so that's probably like, $45 US right now. No, I'm just kidding. I think it's probably going to weigh in at like the $175 US range.
Probably.
It's a pretty beefy model price for what's essentially a 3-sprue kit. It is gorgeous. Technically speaking, I don't particularly care for the beast sculpt that much.
Yeah, me neither.
But the quality of the sculpt is there. I just don't like the way it looks. I can't knock GW on their quality. It's about the only thing we can't knock them on.
Yep.
And I guess that says it all. So after that, some fun for the hobbyists and all of us. So everyone knows that display miniatures go on plinths, right? For those who don't know what a plinth is, it's like a pedestal you mount the miniature on for display. It looks really snazzy. Well, Secret Weapon Miniatures makes resin plinths, and now they've partnered with Massive Voodoo to release plinth toppers. So these are basically custom, bases to fit on the top of the plinth to finish off the model. And I guess Massive Voodoo is going to be doing painting tutorials, because that makes sense. Okay. So that's a really cool idea from Mr. Justin.
Yeah, I like the concept. So they already have the plinths. They all have custom bases made for the exact size of the plinths they're already selling. So it's a really cool thing. And for people who want to paint but don't want to bother with all doing the custom bases, that's perfect.
Yeah. Okay, so this was a neat thing you found. Flytrap Factory. Now, I think we spoke with them a while back on the main podcast. They had something else they were releasing. Was it the robots?
Yeah, the small robots. Like, kind of funky, almost chibi robots.
Yeah, exactly. So now they've come out with some greenskins, a Grot bomber crew. So this basically looks like the crew of a B-52 bomber.
But goblins.
But goblins, yeah. So.
Funny goblins. Not the Thor Gaming Relics ones, but the
let's face it, these are GW.
Second edition inspired ones.
These are definitely GW inspired. And they look pretty cool. So we've got a link to the greens in the show notes. So go take a look if you like your goblins.
Up to now, right now.
Continuing on with some news out of GW, or out of Forge World technically, they've previewed Nathaniel Garrow, Hand of the Sigilite.
He's on pre-order, not just preview.
Oh, really? Okay, so I misunderstood that. Okay, yeah, so he's available for pre-order. Nice. So this is a very nice character model, kind of along the lines of like a Primarch in terms of the quality of the sculpt and like the pose and stuff. Doesn't have the big base the Primarchs come with, but he's pretty snazzy looking, and he's an important character in the history of the 40K universe. So I'm sure he'll be a very popular purchase for a lot of people. And he does have a nice base, but it's not the size of the Primarch bases.
Yeah, it's not as big, but it's still big.
Yeah, it doesn't have the grandeur. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. Yeah, yeah. Look at me using big words. Okay. So yeah, he's available up for sale. Oh boy, this next one is a hard to pronounce one. It's a tongue twister. Ogopogo, the lake serpent. So he's actually for the Going Native Warpath. Going Native Warpath game that we mentioned last week by Paymaster Games. This is a sea dragon, and he is a super snazzy sculpt.
Oh, yeah, it's super dynamic.
Yeah, they really...
Two light wings or...
The little flippers.
How do you call that? Flippers, yeah.
They really captured, like, the sea dragon look. You know, I really love it when a company no one's ever heard of comes out with something that's stunning. It's a simple model. Let's face it, it's not super crazy over the top. Sure. But it really captures that look of like a serpent like sliding through the water. I think it's a cool fig. So yeah, people should go check that out. Spellcrow. So Spellcrow has launched something a little interesting, if not hilarious. Or actually, I guess they're previewing it. That one I know for sure is a preview. So Spellcrow is really best known, I think, for their alternate parts for Warhammer 40K. At least that's the only thing I've ever heard them mention for.
Aren't they mostly doing fantasy stuff? That's what I remember them for.
Okay, that's interesting, because I only knew them for 40K parts.
Oh.
So
you're mostly a 40K player. I was mostly a fantasy one, so that might explain why.
Wow, that hurts. I'm mostly a 40K player.
Well, you're more from a 40K background, and I'm more from a fantasy background.
That's true. Let me go check out the page. So everything on their page looks like it's a mix of fantasy and 40K type stuff and conversion bits.
Yeah,
makes me think a lot of
Max Mini or other of the
bits. Why am I not thinking of the guy that does... Oh. Wow. You know what? We got to start doing these shows earlier because my brain apparently is shut down. The guy I'm thinking of is pretty well known. He does, like, he's got dwarves riding bears. He's got...
Cyborg.
Thank you. I knew the dwarves riding bears would get you right off. he has all the Space Marine variants.
Yes, also a bunch of goblins.
And a bunch of goblins, yes. Yes, he's got a lot of cool stuff. But anyway, Spellcrow. So very similar, I guess, to Cyborg in that they have a broad range of product. Which I didn't realize, or Cromlech even. So back to the topic, they released these, or previewed these Goblin Bard, this singular Goblin Bard. I can't even talk anymore, Antoine. God help us.
He's so cool. It's a small singing goblin with what looks like a lute and a small hat with a wig, like a curly white wig. Well, it's not white, it's green stuff, but what I imagine as a curly white wig or a blonde wig, he scalp a human bard from or something like that.
Yeah, you know, when I first looked at it, I thought like the statesman wigs, like they used to wear the white wigs with the curls that all the statesmen wore?
Yes.
That's what I thought at first.
That's what I thought
first. But she just had, you know, scalped a bard, the golden flowing locks. Yeah, that totally fits. And he comes with a dog that's howling. Because I guess his musical skill is not so good.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. By the way, thanks for taking over there for a second, because I was floundering all over the place. Good cover. The listeners will never notice.
Especially if you pointed out.
Yeah, well, no one ever said I was very subtle. Last but not least, so this was something that we both just kind of discovered. I'm guessing it's pronounced Durgen. So Durgen Paint Forge. We're going to post a link to it in our show notes. They just launched, or are launching, a set of plastic miniatures, which look awesome.
Are they plastic or resin?
Well, judging by the preview pictures, they're on sprues. It could be.
They're called first resin casting.
Yeah, I guess it is resin. It's just that I'll be honest, most of the resin casts I've seen... The sprues
looks like plastic.
Well, yeah. I was gonna say the sprues look so haphazard, like the channels and stuff. It's all over the place, and this is so organized looking on the sprue that I just assumed it was hard plastic injected.
Yeah, it's true, but most hard plastic have like full sprues on the outside.
Yeah, no, for sure they're in a frame. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But anyway, these models look amazing. So, they've previewed, is it 5 character models?
I think so, yeah.
So you've got an orc with a giant, maybe flame belcher type cannon, with a backpack which is loaded with fuel and a hose attaching it. He looks...
It looks like a floatable mine.
Yeah, the backpack looks like a mine, yeah. But yeah. The gun, I don't know. But the gun looks kind of like a cannon, but I assume it's a flamethrower.
Yeah, something like that.
So it looks cool. You've got a dwarf drinking ale and riding the back of a boar. So some dwarven cavalry. You've got a really awesome, I don't know if she's human or elvish female fighter with like a...
A sword cane or a saber, yeah, well, a sheathed saber.
I think it's a saber, judging by the handguard and stuff.
Yes.
And that was the model that really caught her eye, right? Yep. I think she is spectacular.
Yeah, she has a super cool... she's not static, but just standing with the sword on the ground.
She's got a very no-nonsense pose. She also has
a cool coat with the arms just attached on her back. She made me think of Albator.
Yeah.
Is it the same name in English?
Albator is... Captain Harlock.
Captain something? Captain Harlock, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, or... Queen Emeraldus, I think, was the female version of him. Yeah, so she's got like the coat off her shoulders, and she looks really cool. There's also two other models. One is an elf, like an elf warrior, who looks okay.
Elf archer, I think.
And there's the one that's standing on the column or on the rooftop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's okay looking. He looks like he's summoning some sort of elemental. Elemental being. Yeah. Anyway, so
but the three that stand out are really the dwarf, the warrioress, and the orc.
Yeah,
for me.
And I think
the dwarf and the orc have this like kind of humorous look at them on them.
And they're such nice sculpts for a startup, or what I assume is a startup, because I've never heard of these guys.
And what we see of the cast seems pretty clean.
Too. Yeah, the cast look very good. And, you know, they have 3D renders and they have the cast and they seem to line up pretty well. So that's always a good sign when the previews you're showing are actually, you know, what you're releasing. And I think they're probably a slightly larger scale because I see other stuff on the page is 38 mil. So I'm guessing those will be as well. So looking forward to seeing those or ordering a couple and they become available because... It'll be fun to paint. Yeah,
they're on pre-order right now. Or they should be.
So it definitely looks like it'll be fun to paint. All right. That takes us to our Kickstarter and crowdfunding stuff. First up, Zenit's Kensei Undead is on Kickstarter. So if you like your Japanese-themed zombies, this is for you. You want samurai zombies, you want your peasant zombies, You want your kind of demon undead things from Japanese
myth. It's a full army for undeads in the medieval Japan.
Yeah, they are very, very cool looking. I really like the look of the archers.
Yeah, all the Kensei line is cool. So those fits right in.
Yeah, there's no exception, definitely. So that is running until December 20th. So give yourself a little early Christmas present, folks. Check that out. Next up, Luma Dice by Min Mendes. So this is a project that's already funded, and it ends January 13th. And this is just totally a vanity product. It's aluminum dice with LEDs inside, so the pips light up.
And don't the pips are a different color?
Yes.
Depending on the side?
Yeah, exactly. So the different faces are different colors. There's one side of the die you take out. It's got four little screws. So you can put batteries in, I presume. To be honest, I'm sure they're not going to be perfectly balanced. Let's put it that way.
Probably not.
Anyway, a little bit of detail. Every die has 21 RGB lights. Each side glows its own color. You know, it's got motion detection. Made from aluminum. Apparently, the weight is well distributed and they produce fair rolls. According to the manufacturer, But anyway, yeah, totally a vanity product.
for sure.
I think they work out to about $10 a piece if you buy the larger sizes.
It's not that bad.
No, of course not.
I was expecting more than that.
Yeah, it's $21 US for two dice. So, $10.50. You know, plus, I'm assuming there's shipping and handling. But whatever. It's Christmas. Buy yourself a gift. Get some light-up dice. You know, I can't win at War Machine, but at least I can have bling on the table. That's... Look at it that way.
Literal bling.
Yeah. Next up is something that I originally, I have to admit, I thought was a joke.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it is, too.
But the more I read, the less sure I am. So this is up on Indiegogo, and this is for a 28mm scale rock army.
Rocks.
Yeah, it's really all you can say. So it's a bunch of sculpted rocks with eyes. Yep, and it's basically for fantasy. So you got like 20mm bases, 25mm bases, and like probably a 30mm or 40mm square-based infantry. It's cute. Check out the link just for a laugh, because you read it, and like I said, at first someone sent it to me, and I thought, oh, this is funny. Something like a joke in the go-go. But then you read it, and it sounds so serious.
And it's not even that. They don't come out as, like, super well-crafted rocks. They just, like, look like rocks with eyes added to them. They have some character, but still.
Yeah.
But it's so random.
Sadly not cheap. If it was cheap, I'd probably just invest for the hell of it. I mean, I guess it's not really that expensive. If you look at a cost per model, it's like
€20 for 10-man squad?
For a 10 medium base, yeah.
So. Yeah, that's better price than Game Workshop.
What? Seriously, Antoine. Okay, so it's like $4.
And free shipping.
$4 a model and free shipping. Yeah.
It's euros. Are we at 2-1?
I think so.
Isn't that pounds?
Oh, no, it's even worse than that, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Let's hold on, folks, while I go check.
No, $28 Canadian.
Oh, the euro slipped. That's right. I always forget the euro plummeted like a year ago. Oh, so it's a good deal. That's it, folks. Order your rocks.
It's less than $3 a rock.
You know what? I may have to back that just to see what I get. And if it costs me $28 and I get nothing out of it, well, it's good to dream.
Mm-hmm.
Last up, kind of a neat little Kickstarter here. So this is by Dragonforge Design, maker of fine resin bases. This is the Gothtech expansion bases and accessories. It's a set of resin bases, kind of steampunky, gears and metal plates, and of course it's going to come in various designs. I think...
Mm-hmm. And they are also... They have funded enough, so now they added walls and some other stuff. Different sizes, bases.
Yeah. Well, Dragonforge makes great stuff, and I think all his Kickstarters are pretty much guaranteed to be successful. He's got a lot of followers, so... Yeah, so check that out if you're looking for some bases for maybe some War Machine or Malifaux or anything else kind of steampunky. Can't really go wrong with Dragonforge.
That's it.
You know, I just realized I haven't been saying when things end. I'm terrible.
Oh, you just missed the last two.
I missed the last two. So for those who are interested in Indiegogo on the Scale Rock Army, that closes December 9th. And the Gothtech expansion bases for Dragonforge Design close December 18th. So you still got some time to back these great crowdfunding projects. Antoine, I think that's it for this week.
Yes, that's it.
All right, folks, so we'll see you next week with more news.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Read our blog at geeksofthenorth.com, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, on Twitter at PRFilio, and Antoine at Eltonio Berg. See you in 2 weeks, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find Almost Podcast, a fan-driven companion podcast for the Almost Human television show. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.